Well, each year on December 22nd, we have the great privilege of hearing Our Lady's Magnificat. Our Lady's Magnificat is her canticle of praise, her beautiful hymn. It's been described as a poem of singular beauty. This Magnificat, this beautiful prayer of Our Lady, is so important to the Church that every night we pray it in evening prayer. For those of you who say the Divine Office or Liturgy of the Hours, every night it is the evening prayer of the Church, Our Lady's Magnificat. For those of you that are in the Legion of Mary, you know that you pray this prayer every day in our Catena, the Magnificat. Every active and auxiliary member says the Magnificat every day. That's over 15 million Catholics say this prayer every day as members of the Legion of Mary. This hymn is one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament. Our Lady sings about God's saving power, salvation history. And notice how Our Lady begins. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's what Our Lady does. Mary magnifies Christ. Mary doesn't take away from Christ. She doesn't obscure Christ. She magnifies the Lord. When you look through a magnifying glass, you can see things more clearly. They become larger. And sometimes people say, well, I want to go directly to Jesus. I don't want to have to go through the Blessed Mother because she gets in the way. The Blessed Mother gets in the way as much as your eyeglasses get in the way of you seeing. Mary magnifies the Lord. Your contact lenses, your eyeglasses, yes, they do stand between your eyeball and what you're looking at, but do those glasses obscure your vision, or they help you see things more clearly? Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. She helps us to see Christ truly as God and truly as man. And then she says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary's soul is filled with joy, filled with the Holy Spirit, because it says God is her Savior. And again, our Protestant friends say, well, that proves that Mary was not the Immaculate Conception. That proves that Mary must have had sin, because she calls God her Savior. The only people that can call God your Savior is if you've sinned. Remember that there are two ways to be preserved from sin. One is after the fact, the one is before the fact. I'll give you an analogy. A person is drowning in quicksand, and you pull them out of the quicksand. You save the person from death, from the quicksand. But if somebody was about to fall into the quicksand and you caught them, you save them from the quicksand. One is after, the other is before. We're saved by the grace of God after the fact, after we're born into this world with original sin. It's washed away in baptism. Our Lady was preserved. She was caught by God before she was allowed to fall into the quicksand of original sin. And so that's why she can call God her Savior. It was salvation by preservation. She was truly saved by God, redeemed most perfectly by the grace of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, applied to her at her Immaculate Conception. So that's why she can sing that God is her Savior, because she was redeemed most perfectly, in fact, preserved from even being tainted by original sin. She then sings, "He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid." Mary calls herself the slave of the Lord. She is the humble servant of the Lord. And notice, it wasn't just her faith or her purity that God chose her. It was her humility, Mary's lowliness. She says that's the reason why God chose her, was her lowliness and humility. Unlike the first Eve, who offended God through pride, Mary honors God through humility. And then it says, "Henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." See, humility is truth, and all generations will call Mary blessed. Humility is not going around saying, "I'm no good, I'm no good." humility is saying, well, if there's anything good in us, it's because of God. God has given us the grace. And so Mary says, all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. Mary doesn't deny it. She's going to be the mother of God. And holy is his name. Notice she always reflects the light back to God. Mary is the moon. Jesus is the sun. And so all holiness comes from God. Mary reflects the holiness of God. And notice all generations have called her blessed. We call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. We call her the Blessed Mother. We pray the Hail Mary when we say, blessed are you among women. Churches throughout the world are dedicated to her honor. The beautiful basilicas of Chartres and Notre Dame. All generations have called Mary blessed. She has appeared at Lourdes and Fatima, and all generations continue to call her blessed. Think of how many young girls are named Mary or Maria or Marie after our Blessed Mother. And then she sings, and his mercy is on those who fear him in every generation. See, this is the year of mercy, and this is the canticle of mercy, that God will be merciful to those who fear him. And fear, of course, as the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. It's not a fear of a slave to a master. It's the reverence of a child to a son. This is holy reverence, not wanting to offend an all holy God. And it has to do with reverence and respect. So God will be merciful to those who reverence, respect, and honor him. He has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. The Bible says, God raises up the lowly, but he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So the proud, Lucifer, Adam, Eve, the people in the Tower of Babel who tried to, build a structure to reach up to heavens, they were scattered because of their pride. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Who were the mighty? The Sadducees, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, they were the mighty. And yet, look who God raised up. Lowly fishermen, tax collectors, the 12 apostles, and our Blessed Mother. He has filled the hungry with good things. Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish. He fed the crowds of thousands of people. And the rich he has sent empty away. Think of the rich young man who walked away because he was unwilling to follow Christ. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Again, see the theme of mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his children forever. God is faithful to his covenant. Even though the chosen people often drifted from God and we sometimes drift from God, God is faithful to his part of the bargain, to his covenant. So I encourage you on this beautiful day of December 22nd, as we get close to Christmas, think about the Magnificat. Think about this canticle of this beautiful hymn of salvation history, and try to grow in humility, try to grow in love of our Lord and our Blessed Mother, and try to be like our Blessed Mother. Our Lady knew sacred scripture so well that the scholars tell us that every sentence of Our Lady's Magnificat is from the Old Testament. Our Lady knew the Old Testament by heart. She's from the time she was 3 years old, she lived in the temple. She studied scripture. And when you read the Our Lady's Magnificat, you'll notice that every sentence is from one of the Old Testament books or Psalms. 1 Samuel, Psalm 113, Psalm 111, Psalm 103, Psalm 33, 2 Samuel, Psalm 146, the book of Job, Psalm 34, Psalm 107, Isaiah 41, Psalm 98, and the book of Genesis. Imagine that. In just those 12 or so verses, Our Lady quotes over a dozen passages from the Old Testament. Our Lady knew scripture and loved it and knew it by heart. So when the Holy Spirit sang this beautiful hymn through Our Lady, he was quoting all these passages from sacred scripture.